Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today follows on a few other sermons that we've focused on from the book of Romans. And really this text, is this whole chapter, Romans chapter 8, is the climax of the book of Romans, of its 16 chapters. And the first three chapters of this letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians living in the city of Rome, the capital of the most powerful empire in the world at that time, those first three chapters of the letter, the Apostle Paul explains how all people, all of humankind, are equally under God's judgment because of sin, because of the sinful nature that all of us have inherited from our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, from the sin that all of us commit in our lives, in our actions, and in our words, and in our thoughts. But then the Apostle Paul goes on to give the comforting message, to tell us how God has declared all people to be justified, to be holy and righteous in his sight because of the work of Jesus on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. God justifies us because of the work of Jesus, not by any of our own works. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to describe the struggle that exists within each believer. The struggle between the evil desires of our sinful nature and the righteous and godly desires of the new life of faith that the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts through the good news that Jesus is our Savior. And now in the words before us, the words that we have from Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul assures us that this struggle within us, this sanctification struggle, should replace any doubt that might assail us, doubt that the devil leads us to have in our heart about God and about his goodness and love for us, leads us to replace that doubt with simply pure joy and exhilaration and an unconquerable assurance that our salvation is guaranteed, it is assured through Jesus, our Savior. That there is absolutely nothing in all creation, visible and invisible, material and spiritual, nothing that can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All of us, all believers, will face either direct or indirect assaults on our faith. We face those attacks from the devil and his temptations, from the sinful world around us and the temptations that brings, and even from our own sinful nature within us and its sinful desires. The Apostle Paul uses a couple of rhetorical questions in the opening verses of our reading to show us that none of these assaults on our faith and on our salvation can separate us from God's love. He writes in verse 35, "What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" If you remember the life of the Apostle Paul and what he experienced in his life, you know that the Apostle Paul himself had already personally faced some of these trials and hardships, and you know that, and he probably knew by inspiration, the foresight that the Holy Spirit had given him, that he would face these and many more in the coming years of his life until finally he faced the ultimate persecution of his own execution at the hands of the godless Roman Emperor Nero. The Apostle Paul goes on to quote from Psalm 44, verse 22, to show that God has prophesied that his people would face these hardships. They would face suffering and even death because of faith in him. He quotes, "For your sake, for God's sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." But Paul doesn't leave it there on that rather depressing note. He goes on to answer that rhetorical question that he had just asked in the preceding verses. Will any of these things, any of these hardships, or persecutions be able to separate us from the love of Christ? And he answers that question with a resounding no. He says, none of those things, absolutely nothing, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He assures those Christians in Rome 2,000 years ago, and he assures all of us today, every Christian in those intervening years, and every Christian in the future, of this truth. Nothing can separate us, can separate you or them from God's love through Jesus, our Savior. Think about the wonderful, comforting words that we heard in the sermon last week, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for our good. God guides and directs all things, even those hardships and troubles and persecutions and difficulties that we face. Even illness, disease, and loss, and grief, he brings about a blessed result for us, strengthening our faith, calling others to faith in Jesus, ultimately bringing us to eternal life with him in heaven. And so whenever we are assaulted by the temptations of the devil, by troubles and difficulties that we face in our lives, the devil comes to us, and our own sinful nature also comes to us. Maybe other voices in the unbelieving world around us come to us with nagging questions. If God really loves you, Christian, and how come you're having such a rough time right now? God really loves you. Why does he allow this to happen in your life? And maybe you ask yourself, God promised to give me peace. Peace unlike anything the world can give. And if that's the case, then how come I'm so torn up and confused, uncertain, and facing so many challenges in life? Well, the text before us today in Romans chapter 8 empowers us to shout out against these temptations, really these lies of the devil and of our sinful nature, to shout out no, no in answer to that question. Will anything ever cause God to stop loving us? No, absolutely not. God's love for us is guaranteed through Jesus, through his sacrifice for us on the cross, through his resurrection from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, the proof that we also will rise from the dead. And that's just the chief thing about which the Apostle Paul assures us that it and nothing else can separate us from God's love, and that is death. As you know, many people, even many Christians, have a fear of death. And they're afraid of death because, even for Christians, because it's something that is unknown. It's something that we haven't experienced before. It's something that we just can't experience until it actually happens. But even though we might have a fear of death, that fear of the unknown, ultimately as believers in Jesus our Savior, as believers in all of God's promises to us in his word, ultimately we are not actually afraid to die. Because we have been assured that by Jesus' own death, he has destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. He has freed those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. That's what the writer to the Hebrews assures us of in chapter 2 of that letter. Because we have that promise, we can join with the Apostle Paul as he declares in the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He calls out to death, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" And he answers that question. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death does not have the victory. The grave does not have the victory. The victory belongs to Jesus. He won it by his resurrection, and he gives that victory to us. so we can join together with the psalm writer, King David, in those familiar words from Psalm 23, when he declares confidently, confident in God's love and faithfulness, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So what about those powers that might attack us, that might cause us to doubt the love of God for us, and the love of Christ, and the assurance of our salvation through Jesus? The Apostle Paul names them, he calls them out. He says that none of them can prevent or stop or separate us from God's love. He says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, that's not political rulers, not spiritual forces of evil, neither things present nor things to come, nor powerful forces, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation. None of those things can separate us from God's love. Paul leads us to look at every conceivable direction that we can, and every possible source of opposition or persecution or trouble or hardship in our lives, just to make sure that we haven't missed considering any of those possible enemies or opponents. He adds, nor anything else in creation. Yeah, that's a truly impressively frightening list of enemy powers that is lined up against us potentially. Think about the believers who have gone before us. All the believers in God in previous generations and all of the things that they faced in their lives. None of them, no believers in previous generations were immune from those attacks of the devil and of their sinful natures and the sinful world around them. And so we also know that we also should not expect any different treatment than what they received. But God assures us that against all of these powerful enemies stands our even more powerful, our far more powerful Lord and Savior Jesus. That He is for us. He is on our side. We have God's word on it. We have God's promise to us. Paul wrote in verse 31 of this chapter, Romans chapter 8, he wrote, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" No one. No one. There is no one, nothing that can stand up against God's power that is on our side. Nothing can separate us from God's love. This assurance of our salvation through Jesus is our motivation. It gives us joy each day of our lives to move forward, even when we face the sanctification struggles in our lives, when our own sinful nature inside of us seems to be thwarting us at every turn as we seek to follow God's will and to rest in His promises. In the following chapters of his letter to the Romans, Paul encourages the Christians in Rome and all believers to live out their faith in Jesus in their lives. And he talks about different areas of our lives in which we should live out that faith as we show love toward others, no matter what ethnic background or nationality they are, as we show love toward our brothers and sisters in faith here in this church and in God's church throughout the world, as we fulfill our responsibilities as people living under government authority, and as we show love simply to all other people in all things. As we do that, as we live out this Christian life, even facing temptation and opposition, even from within ourselves, God is with us every step of the way, and His love motivates us in that struggle. And all the while, we have the absolute assurance that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go and live in that love and that assurance. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.